welcome here to an all-new edition of Super Powered Pop with DT.
And EB.
Right here with you inside of the Super Powered Pop studios. You're hanging out with us on superpoweredpop.com as well as on superpoweredpop.podbean.com. That's P-O-D-B-E-A-N. You can head to superpoweredpop.com and click on the episode archive. Also on our archive, with all of the special guests from around the world, inside and outside of comics, TV and movies as well. We thank you so much for tuning in to all the episodes of Super Powered Pop and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Super Powered Pop. With that being said, Eric and I were there the first night, the first moment that the public could see Avengers Infinity War. And today's show will feature that after, as we always do, rapid fire. Then we're diving into Avengers Infinity War, and then we're going to For Your Amusement, which will be a special one since Eric and I will be going down to Florida together. So this is a big-time show for us today.
Oh, my God. This is huge. And just to forewarn everybody, if you're listening to us for the first time, you might want to, you know, put the earmuffs on and literally just walk away and go download some of our past episodes if you're trying to avoid spoilers at this point. Because I don't want to feel like I can't talk about this movie anymore. It's tough. Just to forewarn everyone.
Yeah, we are going to talk about the movie. We are going to let people know what happens in the Avengers Infinity War movie. We are going to give you multiple opportunities to mute it and do what you got to do. Save it, download it, go see the movie, and then play it right after. That's the easiest way to do it, folks. Go to superpoweredpop.podbean.com and take this show. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, download it to your phone or whatever device you're using. Save it. And then right after you see the movie, listen into it and get that immediate reaction right after it's fresh in your brain.
And I hope your reaction is, you know, remotely close to ours, because we were actually blown away. And again, here's your last warning, earmuffs. The death in this movie was absolutely mind-blowing.
The deaths.
Deaths. Plural. Plural.
Yes, oh, too many God. Of them. But there's a lot that happens in this movie, folks. So we're going to final time. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and now we will be talking in this show with spoilers of Avengers Infinity War. You cannot say we didn't warn you. You can't say we ruined the movie for you. If you're listening now, you've already seen the movie. If not, you're a crazy person, because who would want to know before they saw it? So we will be discussing the movie. There will be spoilers because we did see it, and we're going to go into everything that stuck out to us. But before we go there, it is time for rapid fire.
That being said, let's keep rapid fire geared around the show, the main segment we're planning on doing today.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a little bit of fun with rapid fire.
All right.
And I'm going to ask some questions that I probably already know the answers to, but our listeners might not. Okay. So let's do this. If there was one character from Avengers that died in Infinity War that would make you cry, which character and why?
It was, well, there was two that really hurt me, which were Black Panther and Spider-Man. The one that made me cry was when Spider-Man is dying. He's, you know, turning into ash, essentially, when his soul is being taken, when Thanos snaps his fingers at the end of the movie. And he grabs onto Tony and he holds Tony. He's hugging Tony and he said, he's like, "No, Mr. Stark." He said, "I don't want to go. I don't want this." And you could just see this little boy saying, like, you know, "You're a father figure to me. Please don't let me go. Don't let me die." And yeah, I lost it because of the moment, two, because of the acting, and I mean, three, because my entire life I've been a Spider-Man fan. So
and not to put you on the spot, I mean, I did witness a grown man cry during this movie. I'll say this, a comic book movie.
I wasn't crazy weeping over here.
But in his defense, I did shed a tear during that scene too. That was a pretty intense scene, and it was really well done on the part of both of them.
What death surprised you the most is my first rapid fire.
For me?
Yeah.
I honestly thought, I couldn't believe it when I saw Black Panther die. I was not expecting that whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think a lot of people were expecting that because of this movie and what the movie has done and how much money the movie has made and the branding of it all, having an African-American superhero lead a movie, which Marvel hadn't done up to this point. They had characters like War Machine and Falcon, but to have Black Panther come in, be the third in the top three highest grossing movies ever in the history of the United States, and then be like, oh yeah, Black Panther's going to die. I mean, and the scene where he dies, he goes to one of the, I say the Dora Maja, I know he says a little bit different in the movie, but he goes over to one of his protectors in the Dora.
He's like, you're not going to die here.
Yeah, he puts his hand on her and he said, come on. He said, this is a terrible place to die.
Yeah, it's a terrible place to die. Yep.
And then right after he says, this is a terrible place to die, you start to see him evaporate.
Yeah.
And of course, Danai Gurira, who's one of his protectors, she did a phenomenal, I mean, you could see the terror in her losing her king and her friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's your very second well done question?
My second question for Rapid Fire today. Okay. How do you think we're going to open up the next movie based on how this one ended? What do you think is going to first start us off here? Just let's forecast here a little bit.
The remaining characters are going to be huddled up at a base somewhere, and they're going to be trying to figure out how they can get everybody back.
Okay.
So I think we're gonna open up. We're probably gonna open up to the world, like big picture decimated. I think we'll see streets without people there. I think we'll kind of see maybe pictures of children. Maybe we'll see some like missing signs for kids and whatnot. And I think we'll probably see a bunch of stuff strewn around the streets, cars that have banged into other cars, and then we'll kind of zoom out into a world that almost looks like there's less lights in the world.
So you're saying the full on chaos that they left us with.
I think it's going to be a big picture. Like they left you with pain and sadness. They're going to bring you back to that pain and sadness and say, you missed the Avengers, but look at humanity. We want to make this movie real for you. Think about if your daughter was one of them, if your father was one of them, if you were one of them, or your wife or your husband, and or your best friend. I think that they're going to make it a very rooted in humanity feel to the world is half full now.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I think they're going to do.
Awesome. That's interesting. It's interesting. I have a theory myself.
All right. What do you think? That'll be my second question.
Is that your next question?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think it's
going to
be?
All right. So my theory is I think we're actually going to rewind the clock a little bit, and we're going to start off in the past. And I think we could start off with that one character that a lot of people are possibly alluding to, which we actually saw at the close of the credits of this movie, and that's Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I think we could go back in time and see some things playing out and kind of trying to rewrite history here, per se, and then maybe fast forward back to present day, similar to what you just described.
I have a theory, but I'll use it for later on in the show to go off of that. What is your third rapid fire question, Mr. Bunch?
Okay, so my third rapid fire question. In the upcoming Infinity Wars movie or whatever it's going to be titled, the part two of what we just witnessed, if you could see one character wield the gauntlet that you know is still alive,
yeah,
who would you want to see wield it?
That's still alive. I would honestly, in kind of a funny, cool, you wouldn't expect it, I'd love to see Rocket wield the gauntlet. But
that would be chaos.
I don't know if he could even hold on to it. But I would say of the people that are still alive, which there's not many, who would I like to see wield the gauntlet? I would have said Black Panther if he was alive, because he did in the comics. I'm trying to think here who should do it or who would do it. You know, well, you can't have the Hulk, because the Hulk wouldn't know how to kind of hone it all together necessarily. So, wow, this is tough. Who would I say? Who would wield the gauntlet? I would say Captain America.
Okay, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I would give it to Cap.
That was exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think he would be the best moral compass to hold it.
Yeah.
And he would be able to
truly... Most sound of mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's now seen his best friend die twice.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what his feelings are going forward and how his character, acts after all of everything he's experienced. I mean, all these characters are obviously broken to a certain point at this point in the series. So, man, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane.
Let me think here. What's one thing that you would change about how Infinity War went down? What's one thing you would change about what we have seen up to this point?
Just Infinity War.
Yep.
Okay.
Just Infinity War.
One thing that I could change.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I look back at like the Time Stone and that exchange with Doctor Strange and when he gave up the Time Stone.
Yeah.
And I know he saw every outcome of the future as it pertained to Thanos and the Gauntlet. But I feel like out of those 14 million possibilities, the one that he chose, there wasn't an alternate one that didn't include him giving up the Time Stone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He couldn't have found another alternate future.
Tony would have died if he didn't do it.
I get that, but you're Doctor Strange. You have the Time Stone. Like, I almost feel like there's a sense of, like, he can go back and play things out a million different ways with the Time Stone. And is it possible that he wouldn't have died?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
I mean, rewind the clocks. I mean, I guess if that was the case, is it plausible that maybe we wouldn't have a movie and we wouldn't even gotten to this point if he used the Time Stone to that point?
Well, that's the thing with Doctor Strange.
Would they have just thought he was a crazy man from the future?
Well, when he has the stone in his hand, can't he just continue? Can't he treat Thanos like Dormammu?
That's what I'm saying.
And just keep going back in time.
And that's where I think that concept needed to be fleshed out a little bit more.
I have a theory of that, though.
But I'm let's just assume for the purpose of the movie and how it played out that there's more rules to the Time Stone than we're privy to at this point, or we really understand. But, I mean, I feel like that could have been something that could have been changed slightly and maybe could have been developed a little bit more so we had a better understanding of the rules behind the Time Stone.
Okay. What's your fourth rapid fire?
Fourth rapid fire question for today. Oh, boy. Okay. Of the characters that didn't die, which one would you have been? I'm not going to say that you wanted any of them to die, because I think we've all grown to like all these characters. But which one would you have been the most okay with dying, or if they could trade places with Spider-Man or Black Panther or Fury or whomever?
That's tough. I would say, oh boy, that's tough.
Which one do you think would have added the most benefit to the future of this looming future that
the world has?
Well, I mean, ultimately, these guys are all going to, I think, at some point in the future of this franchise, of this Infinity War saga, you're going to see the existing group of guys that are left, as to your point in the beginning of this conversation, get back together.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Of the people that died, who do you think would have had the biggest impact on...
Oh, the people that were already gone.
Yeah.
Who do I think
we can even include Gamora in this.
Doctor Strange.
You think Doctor Strange would have...
Doctor Strange, because of his mystical abilities and how good he was with everything and just what he can do. Mantis, because she can actually cause Thanos to temporarily...
That was huge. She paralyzed him for a moment, yeah.
Yeah. So I would say Mantis for her powers, Doctor Strange for his, and I would say Gamora for her relationship with Thanos. I think any three of them.
Yeah, yeah. I think bringing back Gamora at this point would be very detrimental to Thanos, especially...
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if somehow he keeps the same mental capacity from what he's experienced up to this point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was obvious at this point that he didn't want her to die.
No.
It was blatantly obvious.
But he's above his deep... Above the only thing he loves, which is Gamora, he still is selfish above love.
Yes.
He is selfish, power-hungry, egotistical, and self-centric above his love for anything.
Yes.
So, you know, she's the only hope of him stopping. But, I mean, you have to think about, there's a point where they almost get the gauntlet off of him where Spider-Man's pulling on it And I think Dr. Strange Iron Man jumped on it. Yeah. Iron Man's pulling on it. And Mantis has his brain, and they're telling, you know, trying to get him to calm down and make him kind of sleep.
And Star-Lord fucked it up.
You're right, and Star-Lord messed it up.
Sorry, so, we have to put the edit.
That was okay, but Star-Lord messed it up. And essentially, if they reverse time to that moment, they would have got the gauntlet off.
Yep, yep.
If Star-Lord had stayed back, they would have got the gauntlet off, and then Thanos would, he would be at the mercy of whoever has it.
Yep,
so,
yep.
He's still, I mean, he's still one of the strongest beings in the world, in the universe, without it.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, he can't, anything that he would do to anybody could be undone.
Are you a little angry with Star-Lord?
I am. I mean, we can definitely discuss that further in the meat of the show, but I think that, you know, that there's his weight on his shoulders for Star-Lord, for Peter Quill, is ultimately every death that happens from that moment on when Thanos snaps his fingers with Vision, with Scarlet Witch, with everybody. You know, the blood is all on Star-Lord's hands. So he single-handedly, potentially, is responsible for the demise of half the universe.
Yep.
And his one angry, selfish, how could you do this to Gamora, who I love, which I understand him being upset, but in by being angry for Gamora's death and trying to avenge Gamora's death, he caused the deaths of so many other people's loved ones. So that's the irony of it all, is I'm upset my girlfriend's dead, yet because I did what I did,
there's a butterfly effect.
Yeah, he still has the gauntlet.
Yep.
And now all these other people's boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives and fiancés are now dead.
Yep.
So I would say if I'm Star-Lord, many people can walk out of that movie saying he has the most guilt, he has the most pain, he has, I mean, the weight of the world and the universe is on his shoulders. And if not for his selfish 3 minutes that don't, they're not selfish, but they are. I mean, it's for Gamora, but it's for his relationship. And if he didn't go down that road, we're not sitting here potentially talking about everybody dying, and we're not even talking about the Mind Stone being in the hands of Thanos. So, you know, this is, it's a really bad look for Star-Lord, and it makes him public enemy number one by accident.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So I would say that.
All right, well, we'll get more into that in the main conversation.
Yeah.
So what
my
question
fourth.
Are we on? We're on number
on
four?
Fourth, yeah.
Okay.
Was the Soul Stone where you thought it would be?
No, it was not. But it was very well done. I like what they did with it. I think they had everybody on the fence.
Yeah. Don't do the reveal yet. Everybody's asking me, is there anybody in the movie that we didn't think would be there?
Yes.
And I've literally said to people, I was like, I waited a decade
to see somebody,
to see a character that shows up in the movie.
We'll talk more about that in the main.
And I hope that we see more of them in the future.
Yeah, as do I. I think there's a lot of things that they can do.
There's a lot of questions of how did they get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I thought that was cool. All right,
interesting.
What's your fifth and final rapid fire?
Well, to round out rapid fire and keep this entertaining for people, because this is obviously a slightly depressing conversation in the concept of
very sad
comic books. Let's liven it up. The last question I have for Dan. If Snooki wielded the gauntlet, what would she do with it?
We would all die.
Really?
She would wield the gauntlet to make it... she would wield the gauntlet to get Gianni to be okay with her showing her hoo-ha in public. She would wield the gauntlet to never have gone to jail twice.
Oh, boy.
She would wield the gauntlet to be eternally orange. She would wield the gauntlet to be eternally drunk. She would wield the gauntlet that when she tried to carry her giant bottle of Chianti back to her place in Italy, that it wouldn't have broken. So, yeah, if the world is in the fate of Snooki, I'm going to grab my bag and tell God I'll meet him at
a party.
I'll meet him at the station.
Yeah. It's a party.
I'll tell God I'll see you. I'll see you soon.
She's going to snap her fingers and everybody's going to be just completely intoxicated.
All right, I'll throw this one at you.
Oh, boy.
If you had to pick one of them, which Kardashian do you think would be the best to wield the gauntlet?
Oh my God, that's a scary one to ask. Holy cow.
If you had to pick one.
I don't know. I think we'll go with Chloe.
Because she, people consider her the most normal.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
She's like the Captain America of that team that I think would...
OJ Simpson's daughter.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right, let's not go in that
technically.
Conversation.
Maybe technically.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go with Chloe. Chloe's all my right. answer for that one.
Khloe Kardashian. The correct answer was none of them.
None of them. Well, yes, that would be the case, but okay.
There's nothing about that show that ever... There's nothing. There's nothing about the show. If you watch that show, you will become a dumber person.
Do you think she'd be upset?
Because that's why I was Kate, shut it off, because we got to get those brain cells back.
The gauntlet would be hurting her nails or something like that?
Yeah, I feel like she'd be like, oh yeah, it's so heavy. Who would hold this? Who would want control of, like, time and souls? I just want control of, like, Starbucks lines and... Yeah, no. There's no... If a Kardashian wielded the gauntlet, I think, you know what? I'd rather trust it in the hands of Snooki.
Over the Kardashians.
Because I could befriend Snooki. The Kardashians are hopeless. So there you have it, folks. If it's between Snooki and the Kardashians, we're Jersey Shore in this gauntlet. We're going to take a step aside. I've heard that breaking news has to get in here. There's something that's going on. May have something to do with what's happening in the Avengers world. We'll hear from them, and then we'll be back right here for you in just a moment on Superpowered Pop with DT.
And EB.
Right here on SuperpoweredPop.com and SuperpoweredPop.podbean.com.
Welcome here for another installment of Breaking News! We've caught up with one of the Avengers after the Infinity War has happened. Thanos has the gauntlet. We know that he's somewhere in the universe, but only half of it exists. And we're going to Eric Bunch. That's right, Eric Bunch from Superpowered Pop. He is moonlighting as a reporter, and he has an interview, an exclusive interview, with the Hulk.
Well, I'm here on location right now in Wakanda, and I'm standing here with the Hulk, who just transformed suddenly, and we were just asking the question, Hulk, can I get a few comments from you?
What you need comment for? World half over, people angry, what you need?
Well, we want to know, why didn't you come to save the day when Thanos was here, destroying the world and everything was going crazy?
Puny Banner, he don't know how to wake me up. You gotta do other things. You grab Snicker, you grab Baby Ruth, you punch in face more. I don't know, I didn't want to come out. I see Big Purple Guy, I say, you know what, Puny Banner, you think you're smart, you think you're good, you beat him yourself.
Hulk, which one of the Kardashians is your favorite?
We go from saving world to talk about something destroying world. I think Thanos come here to kill everybody for watching Kardashian.
Okay, that might be true, but what about Jersey Shore? You gotta love that show, right?
If Jersey Shore keep bumping beat to bounce beat back so beat don't keep up, nobody understand what you say. What a Snooki. I smash a Snooki. I see people look like Snooki all the time. Oompa Loompa, that's what we call them on Planet Hulk.
Okay, enough about pop culture. Why don't we just ask you this? If you could say something to Thanos right now, based on everything that just happened, what would you tell Thanos?
I say, hey, purple man. You purple, I green. Okay, nobody like purple. What you gonna do? I want to take over world. I get gamma radiation. I keep Bruce Banner down low. I take over world if Hulk want to, but Hulk don't want to. You go find nice pretty jewelry, put gems in it, and all of a sudden, you some superpower guy. Didn't know that by going to Littman Jewelers, all of a sudden, you're the big man on campus. That's what I tell to Thanos. Come find me, Thanos, Mr. Purple Man. Oh, bring your purse, too, and all your jewelry.
Okay, Hulk. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that. Okay, now back up to you in the studio.
We appreciate that, Eric. This has been an episode of Breaking News. Back to Eric Bunch and Dan Tortora inside of Superpowered Pop right now. And shout out to the Hulk.
Hulk hungry. You promise food for interview.
Hey, this is Frank Albertine, the owner of The Fourth Wall, 41 New Hartford Shopping Center, New Hartford, New York. The phone number is 315-922-7770. I always wanted to kind of create my own vision of a store. Basically, that's what I did here was kind of took a lot of influence from these local comic book stores or stores that I've been to in big cities, and kind of put my own twist to it. When I thought about naming the story, you know, I bounced a couple different ideas around, and I realized, you know, what better name than Breaking the Fourth Wall? Because that's really what I believe we do here, is we break that sense of reality, because we are so different. You could come in here 7 days a week, and 7 days a week here to be shocked and surprised and see new items and see different things. It's not just comics, it's not just pops, it's not just pop culture. It's everything under the sun for any collector. And you don't even have to really be a collector, you just have to enjoy having something of your own. We have something for everyone, and if we don't have it, we can get it. We carry stuff that no one carries. I have stuff in here that no one else has. I have stuff in here that you're not going to see anywhere else. I plan to be here for a long time. I put everything, you know, that I am into the store, and I try to keep the store ever changing so that it's never something stale. You're never going to walk in here and feel like, oh, you know, I've seen that thing 100 times, or, oh, you know, I've seen that thing so many other places. So the turning point for me was just realizing that I thought I was finally ready to take what I knew and what I know and what I had and kind of put it in just a big location for everybody to enjoy.
Welcome back here to Superpowered Pop with DT
and EB.
Right here in the studios of Superpowered Pop. We're on superpoweredpop.com here in the episode archive that you can click on right on the website. We are also on superpoweredpop.podbean.com, and you can find us on iTunes by looking up Superpowered Pop, and of course Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the same at Superpowered Pop. With all the pleasantries out, I feel like Hulk should be interviewed all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I just snuck into Thanos' purse and pulled out the space stone there just so I can get over to Wakanda real quick and get that interview in. That was fantastic.
That was awesome.
I tell you, the climate's really nice there.
Is it? Is it nice? Oh, how does beautiful. It look it's now? Gorgeous. Is it still in good shape without the king there?
It's a little beat up. It looks like there's been a lot of devastation there. But hey, the sun was shining.
So where were you in Wakanda?
Oh, right in the king's village there. It was perfect.
Just hanging out. There.
Oh, yeah. They got a Starbucks there over there.
That's nice. So yeah. They had a Starbucks?
Yeah, that was
pretty cool. Yeah. How did you score the interview?
Oh, yeah, I just walked up, and he was just hanging out, eating some pizza.
He was just sitting in Wakanda eating pizza?
Yeah, yeah.
On the ground?
I go, are you still hungry? He goes, Hulk always hungry.
That's crazy.
I said, okay, well, I'll hook you up. We'll get you some more food for this interview, and he gave me some time.
Now, you promised him food for the interview. Did you deliver or no?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I just booked it out of there with the space stone real quick.
So you left the interview, lied to the Hulk. And you think that he's not going to come to the studio?
Let's hope not. We'll find out later, I guess.
Lord. Well, man. Well, hopefully, Hulk, you know that Hulk and I have a good relationship. So I don't know about yours. Yours might be shaky.
Dan and the Hulk are very close. I think I'm on hot water
you're
with
not
the Hulk.
Feeding,
right now.
You didn't feed the Hulk when he asked for food.
Well, if he shows up, I'll give him a Snickers and he'll turn back into Bruce Banner.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah.
Snickers back and forth.
Yeah.
Snickers to turn into Bruce, Baby Ruth to turn into the Hulk. That's how we do it.
I get pretty angry when somebody hands me a Baby Ruth over a Snickers.
I love Baby Ruth. I love Baby Ruth. So good. So we are here on Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB.
Hanging out with this Avengers Infinity War spoiler-laden show. We warned you before that if you haven't seen the movie, to save this episode immediately, but don't listen until after you see the movie because we don't want to ruin anything for you. So there's a lot to discuss. And I want to start with the Soul Stone because I thought it was with Adam Warlock and the Sovereign. Because of his color, because, you know, he's kind of gold and they're gold, because they have birthing pods, and how can they have these birthing pods unless, you know, they're creating these beings, so they're putting souls in them. It didn't end up being there. It ended up being on a planet that we had never seen, never knew of, and very strange that the Soul Stone was essentially on this planet, looked like it was the planet, but not the planet. Even when you see where the Soul Stone is, you can't completely describe it. And I think that's the cool part of it is the Soul Stone is not just, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's inside of this orb that we found on. And it's so much more intricate. In order to get the Soul Stone, you don't even see it. You have to do something to get it.
Well, it was funny because it kind of reminded me of that parallel. If you go to like Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets, where he went down into the chamber and, you know, he was looking for the Horcrux and, you know,
he found a secret.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was interesting. I definitely, the way that they set that up obviously wasn't aligned with the way that you and I had interpreted or theorized that they would bring the Soul Stone into the movie. But I think it was very well done. And to that point, we got to see a character that we thought was long gone.
Yeah, and the thing, it was a life for a life in order to gain the Soul Stone, which, yep, I think is pretty crazy. And you wake up in this water, and it's funny how water has been used in movies like Constantine, that water is essentially used to move from world to world, from earth to hell, earth to heaven, earth to that. I mean, earth all over the place when it comes to the soul world and whatnot. Thanos is in water, but in order to gain the Soul Stone, he goes through this conversation with this being that is floating like a spirit, and you don't see them because of their veil. I'm like, could this be death? Could this be the version of death, mm-hmm, that, you know, but it's a man's voice, so I knew it wouldn't be, because he falls in love with death in the comic books, and he's attracted to this woman who's the embodiment of death. And this and that. It didn't end up being death. And do you mind since I waited a decade, can I say it?
By all means.
Well, and here's the irony. I haven't really watched Captain America, the first Avengers, since I watched it in the theaters, but I own it. And I was watching it before we saw Avengers Infinity War. And I love the Red Skull. I really do. I love the character. I shouldn't be like, I love like what he does and all that Nazi. No, none of that Hydra. But I just like the character. I think it's a really good villain. And you hear his voice and you don't like get it right away. And then he pulls the veil off and he's like, I too once, you know, it's just the way it's the way he, you know, the veil comes off and he's like, I too once was looking for the Soul Stone and looking for all the stones. And I held the Tesseract and we see that it's the Red Skull and he's like, fire the lasers. No, but it's just, it's such a cool moment because the thing was, Thanos can bring back anybody. He can kill anybody. He can bring anybody back. So will he bring back the villains that fought the Avengers? But he didn't bring them back. He's trapped because he looked for all the stones. We know that the Red Skull essentially got trapped in his desire and his thirst for the stones. He got trapped as this guardian of the Soul Stone. But to see the Red Skull is alive in some respect.
Yep.
And here, and to see him again, it was just... It was by far one of the most amazing reveals. And that's why I told people, if you haven't seen all of the movies, you can't watch Infinity War, because that was an oh-you-know-what moment.
Yeah.
And if you didn't watch the movies, you wouldn't know that.
That ranked right up there as far as, you know, the surprises in the movie. I think that was definitely one of the better surprises that we saw. And I think it's just awesome because now we can go back and we can, you know, have future confrontations with that character.
Yeah.
And it leaves it completely open, which I think is awesome.
And, like, what's the power of the Red Skull? Can he ever leave there now? You know, kind of. And the thing is, if somehow the Avengers become privy to all of this when they maybe turn the clock back, does Captain America and all them go to this planet to retrieve the Soul Stone? And does Captain America go to get the Soul Stone and go up to this being? And then when the being, you know, takes his veil back, do we not have this moment in this confrontation and this sheer horror of the Red Skull realizing he didn't kill Captain America and Captain America realizing he didn't kill the Red Skull?
Right.
I mean, in all honesty, if anybody's going to interact with him in a different timeline or if we're going to turn the clock back, I want Steve Rogers. I want Captain America to go to the soul world and talk to this being and then to find out that's the Red Skull, and then to have a confrontation or have some type of discussion of what, like, it's like, this is your arch nemesis that is still alive. And to see Cap get there and be like, okay, we need to get the Soul Stone, we need to get out of here, and then have this thing, you know, there once was a time, and then pull the thing back, and it's like, oh my Lord.
Yeah, I would love to see the look on, you know, Cap's face, and I really hope that we get to continue to see movies with him as Captain America, especially if they bring, you know, do future movies and bring Red Skull back. I mean, it would just be awesome.
They could do a movie on how Red Skull got there.
Yeah. They could. They probably could.
You know what I mean? Because he was trapped in the Tesseract.
I mean, how much time has passed since he's been gone? So, I mean, we're talking, I mean,
and how does he get out of the Tesseract? He's trapped inside the Tesseract, and then he gets out of the Tesseract, goes around the world looking, or goes around the universe looking for the other stones. How does he get out of the Tesseract? How is he able to get to the soul world? What is, you know, does he get trapped because he thinks if I kill myself, I'll be reborn?
Right.
And he's not? So then,
aren't all the stones linked to the point where maybe he did kill himself and then he got zapped to where the soul stone is?
Yeah, so.
You know,
was that his
lot
punishment?
A lot of what ifs, a lot of questions that we just don't know yet.
Yeah, but it's just, it was so cool to hear this voice of, I too once was looking for this. And you don't put two and two together until that veil comes back. One of the greatest, honestly, one of the greatest reveals ever in any movie I've ever seen in my entire, over 200, 300, whatever, however many movies I've seen, one of the greatest moment reveals of all time to say a decade later after Captain America, the First Avenger, here is the Red Skull leading you to the Soul Stone, which was amazing. So by far, I mean, for me, one of the greatest moments in movie history, not just in Marvel, too. Bring the Red Skull back and have one of the original villains of these movies. I just thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome.
I thought one of the coolest cameo appearances we got was Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, that he was a dwarf that was massive.
Yeah.
It was like the weirdest. I was like, who else was on this planet? If he was considered to be, because I think that what they call it, not like an elf, but they called him something in the movie.
I thought, didn't they say dwarf at some point?
They might have said dwarf. They said dwarf. Yeah. And he's huge.
Yeah.
And this whole thing of like, in order to create, and he's the one that creates weaponry.
Yeah.
You know,
and he created the gauntlet.
In nowhere.
Mistaken, right?
Inside of nowhere, which is actually the head of a celestial being that had died.
Yep.
So you go inside of nowhere and they use this crazy machine to bring, he's the one that we find out he created the gauntlet for Thanos, which we now know, and he could be, and Peter Dinklage, his character, can be a connection to this, we now know that he created the gauntlet.
Yep.
Which was something that could harness the power of all six stones for Thanos, which means that in the comics where there's more than one gauntlet, he can essentially wield another gauntlet, but the thing is there would have to be more stones.
If I'm reading this correctly, I believe the character's name was King Eitri. If I'm pronouncing that correctly. I might be completely off base here. I'm just using some reference here. We try to stay away from that. But I believe that was his name. I thought it was really interesting seeing that whole dynamic, that correlation of where the gauntlet kind of came from and this idea of, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, did they mention that Thor's hammer was created there originally?
Yeah, it's like that,
I think there was a lot of connections to all
Mjolnir
those.
And I mean, Thor knows that this is the place they have to go for the most advanced weaponry in the universe.
Yep.
He knows that this is where I have to go to get my axe. This is where you go to get anything. And then we see this cast of the gauntlet and that he essentially made the gauntlet for him, that this gauntlet wasn't just something that existed in the universe.
Right.
So to think of that, you know, and to know that Peter Dinklage's character, Eitri, that he had the ability to on this planet that they can create these things, that he has the knowledge and the wisdom to do this and to put it all, I mean, it's like, were they taught? How did they know? Like, how does this all come about? And then essentially, do we see them for the rest of Marvel history go to this planet when they need something? I mean, essentially, nowhere is, the irony is nowhere is the place to be. It is the somewhere for the weaponry.
Right.
You know, how is Peter Dinklage's character, how does he know how to do this? How is he trained?
Right.
You know, that he could make this gauntlet. And like he said, he's like, you know, Thanos said, if I made this, then everybody would live. And he said, I made it and he killed everybody no matter what.
Right.
So it's just the reality of Thanos is that he's going to kill you. And there's that scene where he meets Gamora and she's a little girl and you hear the minions of Thanos say, you know, they say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, and they're like, you know, everyone meet your, you know, it is time to meet your maker. And then they gun down the people standing on one side, and then the other people get to live.
Right.
And it's totally random, and that's Thanos' way of not feeling bad, is that, you know, we don't choose rich and poor. It's all alike. We line everybody up. It's totally random. And in his mind, what do you think about his theory of, you know, my planet was overpopulated. We used all our resources. We were going to die. I saw it happening. Nobody listened to me. My planet ended up dying. So in my head, if I had killed half of the beings on my planet, if they agreed to do this, then we would have had resources. We would still be alive today. So in his mind, he believes by cleansing the universe of half of its life, I will
ultimately save it.
Yeah, I will save life by killing life, which ironically is how Negan thinks in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, certainly a parallel there. But you know, to go off of what you're just saying, I feel like that Thanos, I'm not going to try to justify his reasoning, because who's to say that life couldn't just be managed differently?
Right.
That they couldn't save life in a different way. I mean, obviously, it's a massively ginormous universe that obviously nowhere exists that they weren't even aware of. Thor was, but nobody else was. Who's to say that there aren't other planets out there that, you know, let's take the stones and harness technology and make things better and possibly, you know, go to move to other planets and things like that. And I mean, obviously, we...
Well, I think I made a mistake. Peter Dinklage was on a different planet, and nowhere was where the Collector was. That was my mistake.
Okay.
But, I mean, the same premise of everything, that there is a place, and nowhere is the celestial beings head that had died, and nowhere is where the Collector lived, and that's where all the Ravagers and all
this
stuff.
So much going on in this movie, right. It's just mind-boggling.
But there is a planet where Peter Dinklage's character, Yaitri, is, and everything that we said all still applies to that. But there's this planet where the Soul Stone is, there's Titan, which is Thanos' planet. There's a planet where Peter Dinklage's character is creating this weaponry. There's nowhere where the Collector is. And it looks like there's no one in nowhere except for the Collector.
Right.
Somehow.
Somehow he's managing to be the only guy there. But
yeah.
Again, Thanos being there with the Reality Stone, who the heck knows what happened? You know, they could have just...
Yeah.
Everybody could have jumped off.
What did you think about the scene where he sees Gamora and Gamora stabs him in the heart? We see blood come out of Thanos' mouth. He dies. I'm like, there's no way he's going to die this scene.
I almost instantly knew that he didn't die.
The reality thing.
I was waiting for the Reality Stone to kick in, and it was him testing her.
How cool is that, though? The Reality Stone is essentially, it's like a giant mirage.
Yeah, it's all it is.
It's like everything you see is different.
Well, the thing is, though,
it's crazy.
Is he changing people's perspectives, or is reality actually changing? And that's the question. Obviously, in this case, he has the control of reality, so, you know, he was able to change it. Again, it's interesting. It goes back to, like, our conversation about the Time Stone. We really don't understand the full rules of all these different stones and what they can do.
Yeah.
And I think, hopefully, maybe in the new movie, they'll get a little bit more into those details.
I'm going to find it very interesting. I think that once these Avengers and these heroes in general get another crack at this, that, you know, you might see Tony and Bruce Banner in a lab with the Space Stone saying, you know, this was in our hands, this whole time. Loki had this years ago, and we never thought to take it. We never thought to do anything with it. I can see, you know, Tony, you know, kind of checking this thing out and looking at it, studying it. I can see them, you know, taking better care of Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange being smarter. You know, obviously with Ultron, they got to get him to Wakanda faster. The thing about this is if they can somehow turn the time back, they know all the places where they had misstepped. When Star-Lord is slapping Thanos, where they're trying to keep him in this, you know, rest state that Mantis has him in. You know, getting Ultron to Wakanda faster. To, you know, just all these things that they can do to make things right. I mean, to even go all the way back in the timeline and never let Loki have the Tesseract. Never let the Reality Stone go to, you know, to the Collector. Never let the Power Stone stay on Xandar.
Right.
You know, there's all these things that they can say, wow, 5 years ago we did this. 10 years ago we did this. 7 months ago we did that. I mean,
but and then that begs to differ though. You know, the idea of you, it's a ripple effect. So do they go back to that point in time where you're like going to have the least disruption to everything that came before that?
Yeah.
Like Flashpoint you referenced there. I'm not sure. Fill me in on that. But
yeah, I mean, essentially Barry goes back in time. He saves his mother from dying. And so his father's alive, his mother's alive. He thought growing up with his parents would make him happy, but it essentially changed the lives of so many people. You know, his best friend, Cisco's brother's dead in this timeline. We see that Caitlin's turned into Killer Frost and she can't shut off being this villain. There's all of these things that happen that just change. It changes people's lives.
Right.
You know, it basically just screws with the world. So he did something for himself that ultimately took something away from somebody else.
Gotcha.
So you have to be very careful about how you handle, you know, as people say, if you go back and you save John F. Kennedy, well, that would be great.
Right.
But it would have changed the rest of history. There's in the movie Sound of Thunder, which is, I feel like it's a little known movie, but it's a very, very good movie to go out and see. The premise of the movie is essentially that if you go back in time and there's like this bridge and they can bring you back anywhere. So they go back to the time of the dinosaurs and this guy, right before he steps through the portal, he's on this like glass bridge.
Okay.
And he takes his boot and a butterfly lands on the bridge and he steps on the butterfly and he kills the butterfly. And it essentially changes the entire universe. And as they go back in time, it's normal reality. And then there's these waves where you just kind of, the world kind of gets shook. And after the wave happens, things change. Humanity mutates. There's all these crazy things that happen.
Yeah.
And it goes like pretty, pretty insane. But it's a theory of if one butterfly was killed in a time where that butterfly wasn't killed, so it never got to this planet or it never mated with that. And then it's like humanity's not the same.
Right.
So, you know, it's the whole like, okay, well, what if Abraham Lincoln didn't die? And they're like, well, that's a good thing. But it could have led to the deaths of other people.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy what the world can be.
So it's like they can almost go back to the point of right before Thanos coming to Earth. And I think going to our point that we've discussed previously.
Before he kills anybody. I mean, because the timeline, everything he does. Once he starts to put the gauntlet together, everything from going to Xandar and murdering people and this and that, all of these moves, if you go back on the timeline and you change those, it's all positive effects, essentially, because they know nothing. But there's not like anybody won a Nobel Prize or had $1 million, won the lottery, got married during this time period. There's nothing good that's going to be taken away.
Taking all of that and applying it to what we've seen in the trailers too.
Yeah.
I think the trailers have kind of given us a little bit of a look into the future per se in some aspects. And we've got a few different examples that we wanted to share with you guys that Dan and I caught on to. Let's start with, you know, the image of in the trailer where everybody's coming into what I believe is Avengers headquarters now that we've seen part one of Infinity War. And we've already alluded in our past shows that we believe that there's a slight glimpse of what we believe to be Captain Marvel standing behind Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
But this is a very similar scene that we saw in the first movie here. And it actually ended up being Scarlet Witch in the movie. So we're going back. We're looking at this. We're digesting it a little bit closer. We think it's Captain Marvel. We think that Vision no longer has the stone in his head here. So is this actually a clip from part two?
Right. And that was the thing. And if you go back and you listen to our first six episodes, within that, there's a bunch of episodes about Infinity War. And my theory came out in that I said, we sat here in studio and I said to Eric that we're watching these trailers, but because both movies were shot at the same time, Avengers 3 and 4, which is Infinity War, and then the untitled fourth one, I said, because they were shot at the same time, that puts us in a position of saying, and I said this, I was like, be wary of this and understand that we're going to go see this movie. And some of the things we saw in the trailer may not be in this movie. They may be in the next one. And as soon as the movie ended, while the credits were rolling, I said, oh my God, this never happened. This never happened. This never. So there is this opening, and this is one of the scenes where we see essentially very quickly, we see Captain America, who is standing next to Black Widow. Behind Black Widow is Vision. You can clearly see that there is no glowing yellow Mind Stone in his head. He is laboring, and he is holding his side where he had gotten stabbed in Infinity War.
Right.
So he is holding his side and laboring, but he is alive without the stone. And right next to him, blocked by Cap, is a character who has red on the top, a gold line with a little separation and another gold line, and then blue down the sides, which essentially is Captain Marvel's suit. So we know that this is nuts. And if you got it where we got it here in the timeline, makes perfect sense. This is not Wanda. This is not Scarlet Witch. It's nobody else. Not Iron Man. This very much is what we believe. Captain Marvel, who essentially in this timeline is with Vision. They're able to get the Mind Stone out of his head. He's still alive. He's okay. They go to Avengers headquarters in upstate New York, and they have Captain Marvel. So this in and of itself is one of those scenes that did not happen in this movie this way. And this is, I think, what we're going to see a lot in Avengers 4, are scenes that are eerily familiar and almost identical, but a little bit different.
The next scene that I was referring to is the one where Steve Rogers in the new movie was face to face with Thanos, and he had like a grip around the gauntlet, and Thanos is holding him down with one hand, and they're basically in a pushing match there. And we noticed in the movie at that time in the timeline, he had all the stones except for the Mind Stone. So in this image in the trailer, he doesn't have the Space Stone, or excuse me, he doesn't have the Soul Stone, he doesn't have the Ether, the Reality Stone, he doesn't have, we can't tell if he has the Time Stone or not. Let's assume in the case, he's obviously missing several here. So it looks like he's got the Space Stone and the Power Stone still. So is this something that was edited out for the trailer, or is this plausibly a scene for part two that they put into this trailer to kind of throw us off the scent for what was to be the outcome of this movie?
And I did also say about this scene, I said, you know, we look at this and we see, oh my God, Cap is so strong. He's, you know, he's that hero that we all love, and that hero that not even Thanos can take down easily. And then I said, you know, we think that, but the kind of twist to this is, I said, you know, he's holding up this gauntlet with two hands so that Thanos can't, you know, slam him down. And I said, you know, I feel like we're going to see him as, oh my God, Cap is so strong, but essentially Thanos is going to knock him out.
Right.
And Thanos did in what we saw in Avengers Infinity War. But yeah, I mean, what they did, we asked this big question that Eric brought up, that is this something that the Russo brothers and Marvel and Disney did for these trailers and for all of the promotional stuff, which is to only have Thanos with the Power Stone and the Space Stone and to not show the other ones, so that we didn't know if he got them all in this movie, so that we didn't know that he starts to put the gauntlet together. Or, you know, so was this a way of shading it out and making it look like they're not there, essentially, in order to throw us off from what was going to happen in Avengers Infinity War and say, well, we know he has two, let's see if he gets the rest of them. Or is this a separate timeline where Cap actually can hold his own with Thanos, because yeah, Thanos doesn't have four out of the six?
And it goes back to the scene that we just discussed moments ago. I mean, we know he doesn't have the Mind Stone, and it looks like Vision doesn't have the Mind Stone. So, again, if you're going based on the sequence of events...
So did Scarlet Witch actually destroy the Mind Stone in this timeline?
It's possible.
And if she destroyed it and Thanos didn't have the Time Stone, he'll never be able to get the Mind Stone.
Exactly. Exactly. So, kind of piecing things together
unless
here.
He gets it.
Definitely interesting. But that brings us to our last trailer here. And I think this is going to be like kind of like the closing like battle. But if you go back to the trailers, there's a trailer where the Hulk is Hulked out. And he's running with Steve. And he's running with the Black Panther. And the Winter Soldier. And and Black Widow, and they're looking like they're taking over. They're ready to take down Thanos and his crew here.
Yeah, this is a very different scene.
Yeah.
We know when in Wakanda, when Black Panther and the Wakandans and all of the tribes come together, M'Baku and everybody is there, we know that Cap fights alongside him, and the White Wolf, which was formerly known as the Winter Soldier, that they're there and they're fighting alongside, and we have Falcon there and whatnot. So we know in the original that this is how it went down.
Right.
In Avengers Infinity War, they're in a wide open field. In this scene, they're in the jungle, almost looking like where Cap was fighting with Thanos. We see the Hulk hulked out, and as we know, after seeing Hulk in the original scene, we never see... After seeing Hulk in the opening of Avengers Infinity War on board of the ship that was trying to save the Asgardians, after that, we never see him as the Hulk for the rest of the movie.
Nope.
He's in the Hulkbuster as Bruce Banner. We never see the Hulk. So this blatant scene, this blatant clip that was used very early on in the original trailers, shows the Hulk running behind the Dora Mirage, the protectors of the Black Panther. One of the right-hand women, if you will, Danai Gurira's character, Black Panther, Captain America, Black Widow, and the White Wolf, formerly the Winter Soldier. They're all there, but like I said, this isn't a wide-open field. This isn't what we're used to. They look like they're fighting through the jungle as opposed to in an open valley, like they did in Avengers Infinity War, which changes where the battle is in Wakanda. We think we see the Alyssa Milano in the background. We definitely see the Hulk, who doesn't show up after the first scene of the movie.
We got War Machine.
And we have War Machine there
This all, you know, this scene just blatantly tells you that, you know, we've got people that had passed that are back. So I think this is going to be a scene from the very end of part two, or it's one hell of a swerve on part of Marvel and Disney. So.
I mean, or this could essentially be the battle before he collects all the stones again. But they have Hulk for the battle. The biggest thing about this, the biggest character in this, height-wise, body-wise, all that, is that the Hulk never fights Thanos after fighting him on the Asgardian ship.
Right.
So to have the Hulk at any point of Wakanda is a blatant detraction from the timeline, and War Machine being there as well. So there's something to be said about what this fight and the whole, like I said, the whole area of the fight, the whole staging of the fight is different in Wakanda.
Yep.
So everything about this scene that we saw very, very early on screams to us that the Avengers will fight Thanos' army and Thanos again in a totally changed timeline scenario.
All I can say is this movie was fantastic. I had tons of fun at this movie. It was a great experience. It was hands down, it ranks up there probably hands down the best Marvel movie that I've seen to date.
Yeah.
I would have to say, and I would have to questionably say probably one of the best movies I've ever seen. It ranks up there pretty high.
I said to my wife, I came upstairs and we were about to go to bed, and I looked at her and I said, I just want to say this. One of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And she was like, wait, really? Because I don't say that. I very, very, very rarely, in the multiple years that we've been together, I have not uttered those words really that much at all. And when I said that, she was just like, oh, that's serious then.
Yeah.
But I mean, this movie, very, very good movie. Other things I want to get to in this, you know, we speak on these changes in the timeline and the foreshadowing and whatnot. I have another theory. And that theory is that when Doctor Strange said that he saw over 14 trillion or billion, whatever the heck it was.
14 million, I think. Yeah, whatever.
You know, over 14 million, you know,
whatever the number
rows
was,
we
yeah.
could take. And Tony Stark says, was there any of them where we won?
And he only says one.
And he says one. And so here's my theory. They totally screw with the minds of all of us. And in Avengers 4, Doctor Strange, in that moment when he realizes all the scenarios, we watched one of the losing scenarios, and Doctor Strange essentially sees that in his head. So when he says he goes and sees all of these different timeline, different things that could happen, all these different routes, we, in the entire Avengers Infinity War movie, from when he says that to Tony, we're in Doctor Strange's brain experiencing
one of the outcomes, and that entire movie never happened.
Right.
We're just inside of Doctor Strange's brain, and then he snaps back and looks at Tony and he goes, here's everything we got to do that we didn't do right.
That would be insane, and that's one heck of a swerve, if I don't say so myself. So it'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing this continue to develop and transpire here.
With that being said, we'll be back with this episode of Super Powered Pop with DT and
EB
hanging out with you. We have to talk about the deaths. Now, I'm going to try and write these down and have them all here. So in Avengers Infinity War, we know that we lose Gamora.
Yep.
We know that we lose her because Thanos gives up her soul in order to get the Soul Stone, a soul for a soul. We know that...
We lose everybody in the Guardians, basically, except for
Rocket.
Rocket, yes.
So Rocket is the only living Guardian. Then we know that Loki is killed as well.
Yep.
We know that Heimdall is killed from Asgard.
Yep.
We know that Vision is killed. We know Scarlet Witch is killed. We know that the Black Panther is gone. We know that Spider-Man is gone. We know that Mantis, which you can include her with the Guardians if you want, but she is gone as well.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange is gone. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that we're missing. So then, you know, we said Groot.
Did we lose War Machine? Star-Lord, all I can't remember if we lost War Machine.
We didn't lose War Machine.
Nick Fury.
We lost him. We lost his right hand agent that's there as well. So they're all gone. I'm trying to think of who's still alive. So we have the Widow. Black Widow is still alive. We have Hulk and Bruce Banner that are still alive.
Scarlet Witch.
We have War Machine. Scarlet's gone.
Scarlet gone? Okay.
Yeah. We have Iron Man that's
so
still
much
alive.
Death, people. Forgive me. I've just
Thor
like,
that's still alive.
Still mind-boggled over this.
Captain America that's still alive.
Yep.
So some of the Dora Milaje is still alive, including Danai Gurira's character.
We'd mentioned Rocket, right?
Yeah, we said Rocket was still alive. Yeah. So they very minimal for the heroes of this movie. Black Widow, Hulk, the Dora Milaje, pieces of them, not all of them. War Machine, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America. I'm pretty sure that we lose. Oh, I know that we lose Bucky. So Bucky is gone. The White Wolf / Winter Soldier, he's gone. So we lose the overwhelming majority. We lose Gamora, Star-Lord, Mantis, Drax, Groot, Loki, Heimdall, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Nick Fury, the agent with Nick Fury, as well as White Wolf that we know are all gone from this movie, leaving us with the originals.
Yep.
If you realize that. We essentially are left with the originals. Black Widow is an original. Hulk is an original. Iron Man is an original. Thor is an original. Cap is an original. And we know that Hawkeye is semi-retired, so they could be getting the band back together and saying, you know, I could see them in Avengers 4 saying, let's get back to
how it all began.
Because what essentially happened in Avengers, you know, this portal and everything, that is when Thanos first started attacking us. And there's mention of that in Avengers Infinity War, that he's the one that opened the portal for Loki and let it all, you know, let the Chitauri in and all that. So you get Hawkeye back up and say, Hawkeye, let's get the band back together with Black Widow, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. We know there's no Nick Fury. So this is a great re-entrance of a character. With all this death going on and all these people being lost, it's a great time to bring back Agent Philip Coulson from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
and have him be the director again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's phenomenal. I always loved that character. And when he died in, which one was it? Was it
Avengers.
The first Avengers? Yep. I was just like, oh, this is awful, man. Phil Coulson's a man. What's going on here?
And so, now he's had five good seasons with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
And an opportunity to come back and lead this team, get the band back together, and trying to put it all. And I find it very funny that we look at our six Avengers and they're all alive and well.
Yep.
And we think that Ant-Man and the Wasp were unaffected by this, but their timeline could be different. This could have all happened before Thanos came.
Well, let's just
so
assume
we don't know when it's going to
happen. It'll be cool if we see the new movie and it's going on in their own world of modern day chaos that we're in with everything just transpired, but it might be a normalized chaos, if that makes any sense. It's like the people are starting to get back to their usual day-to-day.
Like they did after the Battle of New York.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see exactly how this ties into the, the current timeline.
Right. You know, and it's, but I do, you know, there's no mistake. Marvel does not make mistakes, you know, really much at all. And having the original Avengers still alive at the end of Avengers Infinity War, with Hawkeye potentially still alive as well, sets them up to say, let's go back to how it all started and let's figure this thing out.
Yep.
So I find that to be very, very interesting that they could almost say, hey, do you want to just go back? You know, do you want to go back in time and delete Sokovia? Is it us? As much as we are Earth's mightiest heroes, are we also Earth's biggest problem?
Yeah.
You know, because of who we are and how powerful we are and how powerful we've become, we commanded Thanos here. So should we have never banded together in the first place?
Right.
There's a lot of questions to be asked about this. You know, like we said, did we see scenes from Avengers 4 in the Avengers Infinity War trailers like I had alluded to before we saw the movie? You know, what does it mean that the original Avengers are still alive? What does it mean that we think we see Captain America or Captain Marvel? What is it, you know, Vision not having his Mind Stone, but he's still alive. So Shuri, the sister of Black Panther, obviously figured something out. Are we going to go back in time? Was this entire movie of all the deaths and Thanos snapping his fingers, was this all inside of the mind? Were we inside of the mind of Doctor Strange for the entire terrorizing sadness of this movie, or did it actually happen?
Well, a lot remains to be seen. There's a lot that needs to be fleshed out, and I'm certainly, like, I just want to see the part two tomorrow. Like, I don't want to wait. I want it to be here now. But unfortunately, we got to wait another year. So it is what it is.
And it gives us a year to talk about it here on the show.
Absolutely.
Superpowered Pop right here with DT and
EB.
We're on superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com/mobile. We'll be back here for For Your Amusement.
Feeling a little funny, Dan. I don't know.
You're feeling a little weird?
A little odd now.
It looks like your arm's getting a little bit shaky there.
I'll have to address that here.
You're starting to phase a little bit here. We might have to go back to the Hulk, because if we can get him for another interview, I think that we might as well take it. We had the first exclusive. Do we become gluttons and ask for a second one? We'll see what happens here in breaking news, as we will take a step aside and come back with For Your Amusement, where Eric and I will give a little pregame to us being in Disney together in just a moment.
Welcome here to breaking news! An update from what happened after the Hulk was promised food and didn't get it from Eric. He put him in and trapped him inside of the space stone, because little did people know, the Hulk actually knows pretty well that man they call the Red Skull. So with that being said, Dan will finish the interview here with the Hulk.
Hulk, first and foremost, I need my co-host back for the next segment.
He no give me food. He promised food with interview. He no give it. I call Red Skull. I tell him take him away.
Well, I don't understand. What type of phone does the Red Skull have that you can get in touch with him as this being that is protecting the Soul Stone?
Oh, he have same network as we all have. 8G.
8G?
Yeah, it's in future. 8G phone. Do whatever you want it to do. It go right in your head. You just say, call Red Skull. And then it call him inside his brain, too.
Hulk, I know you've had gamma radiation, but I don't know if the phone is the best thing to put inside your head.
What worse happened to Skull? Gamma radiation. Now I got phone in head. In meantime, middle of all things, Thanos come down. Puny guy. Try and take over world.
You think Thanos is really that puny?
Yeah. He need, like I say before, fine jewelry. He need Louis Vuitton, right? He need fancy glove like Michael Jackson, wear on one hand.
Well, yeah, but I mean, obviously, he's taken away some of your friends.
We get friends back, don't worry.
Okay, well, I mean, are you going to tell us how?
Hulk can't tell you how what happened. Hulk, you know Marvel Studio, you know Disney. Keep quiet, little mouse run around.
Please be quiet.
That's what he say.
Hulk, I mean, did you just do an impression of Mickey Mouse?
I mean, that to me, I mean, people do impressions of you, but I never...
Oh, I. Yes, I did, and I'm the Hulk.
That's sheer amazing, Hulk.
See? See what happened when someone give me Snickers? I get my nourishment, also become Mickey Mouse. Fun for everyone, really.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Breaking News, as we got to get in touch with the Hulk and learn new things, but not learn anything about Avengers 4 as Hulk stays tight-lipped while impersonating Mickey. A crazy world we live in. Back to you guys.
Hey, this is Frank Albertine, the owner of The Fourth Wall, 41 New Hartford Shopping Center, New Hartford, New York. The phone number is 315-922-7770. I kind of recognized a lot of the things that I see in myself, drive and passion. You have to have those two things to move through life. And, you know, I've always been able to be a good judge of character, judging, you know, people that are like-minded and people that want to get things done and want things to go a certain way, their way for the most part, you know. And I've always been able to recognize that in other people. And I see what you're doing here with Superpowered Pop, and I see what you're doing with everything about your life and everything that you've kind of talked about with me and everything with your show and all your current stuff that's great that you're doing, and I really wanted to be a part of it.
Welcome back here to Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB.
Hanging out with you inside of the Superpowered Pop Studios, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the same, at Superpowered Pop. Make sure you buy your tickets for the CNY Pop Festival right now on CNYPopFestival.com, as well as CNYPopFestival.Eventbrite.com. We are at our final part of the show, and as you know, we round out every single episode of Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB
with For Your Amusement, and we will jump into a For Your Amusement special on Eric and I kind of giving a little pregame, little prelude to us going to Disney together. So what are you most excited about in our day at Disney that we will have here in May?
I think right now for me, it's this new Star Wars VR experience. I'm really jacked up to get in there and get all the gear on and the equipment and try it out and see what it's all about and see what it feels like going in and being completely immersed in this experience. And just, I'm interested when I'm done to see what I'm going to feel like when it's all said and done, coming back out and stepping back into reality. So it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. That's hands down probably one of the things I'm overall looking forward to trying out on this trip.
And I have a question. I mean, does the new Star Wars VR virtual reality experience at Disney Springs, does it utilize the Space Stone? Because it has to bring us into the world of Star Wars, then it has to bring us back to Orlando.
I don't know. It's going to be... Who knows?
But we know that Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars.
Why not just do a mashup at this point?
Why not just do a mashup? I feel like they kind of try to.
Could be a galaxy far, far away. Who knows?
Well, this whole like going to different planets on Avengers Infinity War, it felt very Star Wars-like.
Well.
Just going to these planets of, oh yeah, these, you didn't know these existed, but they've been here the whole time.
And go back and bring Vader back and have a showdown between Vader and Thanos.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. It would be fun to see what we could do from that. You know, I think the Hulk needs to have a big time showdown. And what would be great is after the Hulk beats Thanos, he takes the gauntlet and he sees it and he sees all the gems in it and he goes, puny gem, stupid. And he just throws it. Like, I don't even want this. Like, who would wear this?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see. But for your amusement, I would say I'm really excited about the Star Wars VR experience as well. I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be different. If BB-8's not there, I'm going to preface everything by telling people I'm going to be very upset about that. So I hope that doesn't happen, and maybe I'll forget that when we go to do it, because it'll make me sad.
Well, I can tell you that the title of the experience is Secrets of the Empire. So I have a feeling that you're probably not going to see your buddy in this one.
Maybe the Secrets of the Empire is that Thanos has been a Sith Lord the whole time.
Oh, man. That would be an interesting twist.
Or that Jar Jar Binks is more powerful than Darth Vader.
Well, you know, there are theories out there that Jar Jar is really a Sith Lord. And,
I know.
You know, that'd be interesting.
I like that theory. I think that theory is kind of... That would mess with everybody's brain. But, yeah, no, I'm excited about the Star Wars experience.
What are you most excited about on this upcoming
you know,
trip here?
I'm such a big fan of Pandora that I just... You know, I can't wait to be on Avatar Flight of Passage again. If it was up to me, I'd climb up the trees, I'd sit on the floating mountains, I'd hang from all the vines. I mean, I want to get the full experience.
And then you get kicked out.
Yeah, I want the full experience of Pandora. So if you want me to experience that, I think that when we're down there, we're gonna see the mech suits for the first time ever.
Those were just debuted, I believe, on the 22nd. So yeah.
Yeah, these actual people inside of these giant robotic suits are gonna be walking around. You know, and my only thing is, like, what if the suit stops working and then, like, Jimmy's a little bit and then, like, the person falls over. Down? Yeah, like, how do we know that these people are safe inside of the mech suits?
I have the foggiest. Let's hope that the
feet are weighted. What happens when there's lightning in Orlando?
Yikes. So. Well, I would imagine they'd probably bring these guys inside. They don't look exactly... They look like a giant lightning rod that they could just be zapped and, hey, you might want to stand near one of these guys. Protection.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I could turn into Thor, maybe I would stand closer to them, but probably farther away. I don't know. But no, I mean, I'm excited about Pandora. I'm excited to eat at the Saltuli Canteen because that's my jam.
Definitely looking forward to that. I think we're going to be eating a lot in that one day that we're going to jam together.
Yeah.
Between Epcot and the food and wine, between going to Ohana,
Frushi.
Between wanting to go to Pandora and eating there at the Saltuli Canteen, we're going to be like... walking out of there, we're just going to have big bellies, and we're just going to look like the Hulk after he just, like, finished eating a whole plate of pasta or something that we were alluding to in the last show. Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be great, man. I'm looking forward to it.
See, Hulk, Eric promised you pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to get you pasta.
We're going to get you pasta. Here we go.
But, no, I'm just excited to be down in Disney. I'm excited that we're going to have a big kid day. I'm excited about the fact that I go to Disney by myself. And run around, I mean, for years, run around, like, you know, just being a kid and having a ton of fun and just, like, doing it on my own. And then to be able to have a day with you and have us have what I think is, you know, similar personalities that you're kind of, I mean, it's one thing to live your life and be comfortable in your own skin. It's another thing to be, like, to feel like you have, like, a mirror image of a person that's being a kid and having fun and living life and seeing everything for the first time, so to speak, in the way that they live. So it'll be nice to experience a park with a buddy of mine who can experience it in that same respect.
And I couldn't agree more, and I am so excited to go and experience this stuff with you. But kind of going off what you just said, experiencing the park by yourself, I think that's something that people need to, if you frequently go to Disney, or even if you don't frequently go, I like to tell everybody, try to experience it solo. Yeah. A lot of people, they forget that. And you are on family vacation, so I get that. You're going to be with your families and stuff. But it goes without saying.
Here with the kids.
Yeah, it goes without saying. But like as a dad, I like to experience the parks, you know, just to go in there and kind of do what you want and not be on anybody else's agenda. And obviously, there's flexibility when you're at Disney or you're on any vacation that you have to have when you're with other people. But going in and experiencing the parks in a solo way where you have no agenda, you can do whatever you want, is definitely an experience that I suggest everybody tries, because it's a different feeling when you're there solo and you just can just do whatever you want and just be a big kid, as Dan puts it. So
yeah, you know, I like it. And people always were like, oh, you know, how do you go to the park by yourself? And you know, how do you enjoy it? And it's got to be so lonely. And I was like, no, you know, I mean, that's what I did. When I moved down to Florida and I was on the Disney College program, I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anybody. I was the only person who was going down there from my school. So my experience of it was I'm sitting in my room and one day I sat there and I'm an only child. I mean, I grew up being independent. And, you know, they say when you're an only child, you grow up codependent and you expect handouts from people. I grew up the opposite. I was independent and I didn't have any imaginary friends. I made my own fun and that's just how I did it. So for me, I was sitting in my room one day working on the college program and I was like, am I really going to not go to Disney and not enjoy Disney just because I didn't come down here with anybody?
Right.
And I left my room and I went to Disney and I proceeded to do that every day as much as I possibly could. So I love it. I love the experience. I'm going to be with Eric, and I'm also bringing my mom down for an early Mother's Day. I love you, Mom. You know, you're a fighter, and you're an amazing woman type of trip. So I really hope my mom has fun, too, because I'm dragging her butt to Epcot for some flower and garden food as well.
Absolutely. There's going to be plenty of food. And you know what? I can't wait to experience that Flower and Garden Festival. I think it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a lot of options there, a lot of new things to try.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just really excited. It's
Flower and Garden Festival, Avatar, Pandora, Star Wars VR, the adding of the mech suits.
And if we get some extra time, we'll hit some extra magic hours at the Magic Kingdom. We'll see how the day goes.
What a Maya Kingdom. So I'm very excited about everything that is to come here and to be able to go down to Disney and have a good time. By the way, Avengers Infinity War, really quick note here, folks. What we have here, internationally, the film opened in 72% of possible markets, and China still hasn't had the movie yet. $380 million that's overseas. $630 million worldwide launch. $300 million plus was the budget of this movie. And the movie in its first weekend, Avengers Infinity War, worldwide, doubled its budget, plus $30 million in counting.
Oh my goodness.
Almost $700 million in the opening few days of this movie.
You know what? It was that good. And it doesn't
surprise me. It's going to make $1 billion in 2 weeks.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And where does that compare with Star Wars? I mean, Star Wars has got to be close, but...
Yeah, it's beaten the previous best domestic opening held by Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Jeez.
So it's done that. It's more than eclipsed that. So just to see what we have and where it's going, I mean, this movie could make $1 billion in 2 weeks.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Because you got to think about it, $630 million, if they make a little more than half of that, let's say if they make $370, $380, that's $1 billion.
How many times have you seen the movie now?
I've seen it once.
Okay.
Which we saw it on opening night on the Thursday.
So I know you alluded to possibly going and seeing it again. So
yeah,
sure
I'm 100% going to see this movie at least 4 times in the theaters. So the only reason why I didn't see it this weekend was prior things that I had committed to, my wife not feeling well still, and the NFL draft.
Okay.
Because of Wake Up Call, our brother show. So besides all of that, this week I have some openings and find excuses, and there's a good chance it could be like, yeah, I'm going to go see the movie this day. So I'm excited about it, and I'm definitely going to go out and see it. And I'm happy that we finally got to talk about some of the things that happened in the movie, because it was literally killing me to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I'm glad we can get it off our chest, and now we can kind of relax into Disney.
Yes, we can relax into Disney, and I can think about everything we didn't mention yet. So that coming from us here at Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB
hanging out with you on superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com. Look it up, Superpowered Pop on iTunes, and hang out with us all the time on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Superpowered Pop. You all have been amazing in your following of our coverage and listening and downloading our show. We look forward to you doing it from here. And in the meantime, God bless you. Have a phenomenal, phenomenal day. And remember that Thanos demands your silence. So don't go telling people that haven't seen the movie. We told you guys before any of this happened. Be a good sport about it all. Go see this movie. Cry with me about Spider-Man and Black Panther. And we'll move forward from here.
Peace out, everybody.
Everybody have a good day. We'll talk to you soon.